Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios, powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, he is the ultimate school choice evangelist, but he's also trying to get teachers to see you don't need the teachers' unions, which are the real big one of the big three problems, maybe one of the biggest, including Randy Weingarten, and why kids are undereducated in America. Joining us again, Corey DeAngelis on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Corey, welcome in.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for having me.
Well, I hear you're going to be filling in on the afternoon show coming up, too. What date is that? Do you have that in front of you?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. I'll have to get it here.
But yeah, I'll figure it out.
That's going to be have you ever done that before, Corey?
No, not yet. So okay. we'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're a natural. So I'm very glad that that's happening. Let's start with the positive side. So since school choice has become universal and you can apply in Texas, I think I saw from you the last number was 81,000 families have thrown their hat into the ring to try to get that school choice and go somewhere different.
That's right. That's the best poll that's available. I mean, we've found all across the country that when you ask people if they support school choice, you have a supermajority of Republicans, Democrats, and independents support the concept. But the real test is when you give people that choice, how many take it or try to take advantage of it? And in Texas, it's on the first day, 45,000 parents applied for their students to take advantage of the new school choice program in Texas. And it's been about a week, and you're right, the last tweet I put out said 81,000. We're now at over 85,000 applications. And Dom, there's only about 90,000 spots in the first year of this program. Lawmakers need to come right back and get rid of that arbitrary cap. It's a universal program. Everybody's eligible to apply, but they only have a certain amount of funding when they shouldn't cap it because it's only about $10,000 per student on average, whereas the government schools here spend about $18,000 per student. So it costs less money. There's no reason to put an arbitrary cap unless you're just trying to protect the status quo monopoly schools that want to slow the bleeding. But I imagine that through the end of the application period, which ends March 17th in Texas, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of kids stuck on a wait list. And so it's imperative for those lawmakers to do the right thing and clear it like they did in North Carolina. In states like Arizona and Florida, they don't have any cap on the number of scholarships at all. In Florida, for example, over 600,000 kids are using scholarships.
600,000? 600,000. Yep. So nationwide, then, I thought it was only about a million that were taking advantage of something. With 600,000 in Florida, we're probably over, including Texas now.
Yeah.
Put those numbers together, are we over a million?
I would think so. And Arizona, tiny state, over 100,000 kids using their school choice program. That's like 10% of their school age population. And so, look, this is why the monopoly screeches and kicks and screams every step of the way, trying to stop the bill. And you look over to Idaho, they tried to fight it in the courts too. And we just had another victory there. Time and time again, we win at the courts with school choice because we have an education clause in every state constitution that says you have to have a public school system. And the teachers unions try to twist that language and say, oh, well, that means we can't also have school choice. The judge there in Idaho, had a good quote. He said, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can provide a public school system while also giving people choices. And that's how courts have ruled over and over again. Over 30 states have some form of school choice today. 27 governors have opted into President Trump's new school choice program at the federal level with the tax credit, including Democrat Governor Jared Polis. So we're having a lot of great momentum right now, Dom.
Oh, without a doubt. Now, the only, and I wanted to get, you know, I had somebody on from there for my podcast on this, Corey. I have a little sense, but you have the ultimate. In Mississippi, it seems like the House, universally, Mississippi, you ought to be first in line with this.
Yep.
But somehow or another, and this comes under what we're fighting here, people have to understand, they're not going to go away easily. A monopoly does not. There's all kind of interest there. In Mississippi, the Senate sank it.
That's right. And I just got back from Mississippi yesterday. I met with their governor, Tate Reeves, and I think he's willing to play ball. They have some tricks up their sleeve still. Look, the Trump administration supported the bill. Linda McMahon tweeted in support of it. Wall Street Journal editorial board just put out a nice piece today in print. And then yesterday they had one in print as well, an opinion piece in the journal. So there's a lot of pressure. The whole nation is watching Mississippi, in particular their Senate, who's led by their lieutenant governor, Delbert Hoseman, who supports school choice for his own family. Dom, he sent his own kids to private school. I don't blame him for that. Everybody should seek out the best opportunities for their own kids, but don't go and pull the ladder up from behind yourself and block educational opportunities for less advantaged families. Every Mississippi family should have that same kind of choice that the rich and well-connected already have, that the politicians in power already have, who are listening to the special interests who control them, the people who donate to their campaign.
Exactly. Well,
and look,
Corey,
so, yeah, the Mississippi House passed it. The speaker's on board. The governor's on board. They can still resurrect this proposal.
Right.
And Trump, I think, look, he's obviously a big supporter of school choice. So Delbert Hoseman, I hear, wants to run for governor in a red state. He'd probably be the only guy who's against school choice. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it works out for him. But there's still time for him to save face and do the right thing and support parents.
Well, there ought to be a law, at least in Madame's world, probably in yours. You can't vote against school choice if you're sending your kid to a private school. It doesn't work that way. You shouldn't be able to do it.
Totally hypocritical. And there's a Democrat senator in Mississippi as well. His name is Blount. And he bragged about killing the school choice bill in the Education Committee in the Senate, which they didn't even debate it, Dom. They listened. They put it up for 90 seconds, and they just did a voice vote to kill the bill. So they know they're on the wrong side of history. And this Blount senator who bragged about killing school choice, a Democrat, he sent his own kids to the most expensive private school in the state. So, you know, it's this is school choice for me, this, but not for the elitist hypocrisy. And the unions can hold it off, parent demand, for a short amount of time. But in the end, school choice will always win. I think Mississippi will become the 18th state to pass universal school choice in the past 5 years. It's a lot of momentum, and all eyes are on the Mississippi Senate right now. And look, Tate Reeves can call special sessions as governor. So I think that's a trick that's still up his sleeve. Governor Abbott did it in Texas. Governor Kim Reynolds played ball in Iowa and got it done. So I think Tate Reeves might be willing to follow the Abbott Reynolds playbook towards unlocking education freedom in a deep red state.
So the big story here, though, for listeners, they know by now, they've heard me with her a few times over the years, mainly when I filled in New York, I got her on. And I love her as a talk show guest. A debate between you and Randy Weingarten, we'd have to sell tickets for the deep seats at $100 a head. goes after you, and it's the same thing again, this weaponizing kindness or empathy and saying a guy like you and a guy like me, by extension, we don't have it, they do.
Hey, Dom, if you're catching flack, you're over the target. Yeah, she wrote about me in the New York Post in the print edition on Sunday morning. she responded to my article where I was calling out the teachers' unions for pushing this anti-ICE propaganda in schools. They're using kids as political pawns to attack their political opponent, Donald Trump. They have TDS, and they're using the kids to advance their agenda. I mean, you think about the NEA, Becky Pringle's union. Last year, they passed a resolution to oppose President Trump's immigration enforcement efforts. So this started way before these recent, you know, uprisings against ICE this year. Even last year, Becky Pringle was rallying the rioters in Los Angeles over immigration enforcement. And Randy Weingarten herself also put out a statement against ICE. So, look, they're pushing teachers to print out anti-ICE immigration posters in their classroom. They're pushing teachers to wear all blue on certain days to protest ICE. Mm-hmm. So this rubs off on the kids, and it's a sickness that they're using kids to advance a political agenda. And she basically wrote in the New York Post in her letter to the editor complaining about me that we wouldn't have all this unrest in the schools if we would just roll over and not have immigration enforcement. That's like what this is, the same argument she used about critical race theory, where, you know, critical race theory wouldn't be a problem if we just let them do it in the schools, and gender ideology wouldn't be a problem if parents just, let the teachers' unions control this political agenda that goes into the kids' classrooms. So, you know, for parents, when they fight back, the teachers' unions blame the parents for being parents and wanting to be involved in their kids' education and raise their children. So same playbook here by Randy. She's an expert at gaslighting, but the American public knows she's on the wrong side of history here. And it's the same reason why she fights against school choice. It's about control more than anything else.
Well, look, the reason she really doesn't like you, you're right. You're effective incredibly, and you just said something that they say to us all the time. They're on the wrong side of history. They're on the wrong side of history when it comes to boys and girls sports, so-called gender-affirming care. And we're seeing it. We're seeing the day of reckoning. I like this, Corey. I know you'd like to overnight see a change. As a political issue nationally, though, we're winning on school choice, but they're going to die on this hill and continue to fight it. Politically, that's not a bad thing, because each time we have an election or whatever, this is something that's going to come up. And I would urge President Trump to get involved in Mississippi and these other places. They ought to be striking here in the biggest of all, Pennsylvania.
That's right. Josh Shapiro is the biggest hypocrite out of everybody. He went to private school, sent his kids to private school. And Doug Mastriano was hitting him on that in the 2022 election. And guess what Josh Shapiro did? He took that claim of hypocrisy away in the short term by saying, no, I support school choice. I support tax credit scholarships, the Lifeline scholarships. And then he went on Fox News saying he supported it. Mm-hmm. And then he blamed Bradford in the House that was controlled by Democrats and saying, look, I had to veto it because the Senate controlled by Republicans and the House controlled by Democrats, they couldn't come to an agreement. So in order to get the budget done, I had to veto school choice, my own campaign promise. But now with the big, beautiful bill provision, he no longer has that argument. He can't point the finger at anybody else because it allows governors to unilaterally opt in. So where are you at, Josh Shapiro? It's been years. You now have the opportunity to follow through on your campaign promise. Don't cave to the teachers' unions again. Jared Polis looks like he wants to run for president. He opted in. He's a Democrat. He's shown you the way. Look, this shouldn't be a partisan issue. And Josh Shapiro, I've been in contact with his team, his education guy, basically asking, like, hey, where is he at? They're still looking at it. They're still deciding. They're just kicking the can down the road. Exactly. And you know what? If he never decides, that means Pennsylvania residents don't get the benefit. So we need to hold his feet to the fire and make him make a decision one way or the other. Show us where you're at on the issue of parental rights. Are you for us or against us?
Exactly. Corey, your book, tell us about it and where we can get it, and also where we can follow you on Twitter or X.
Yeah, it's the Parent Revolution. Trump endorsed it. You can get it basically anywhere. And look, Linda McMahon just put a statement out to teachers saying that they can opt out of their union now nationwide, red states, blue states. You can't be forced to pay union dues. You can go to optouttoday.com to get out of the union. Stop funding your political opponents. Stop funding Randy Weingarten and Becky Pringle. So Linda McMahon hit the nail on the head. This is about teacher choice. You want to stay in the union, go ahead. But if you want to keep your money and not have to pay these people who don't like you, join the Teacher Freedom Alliance at optouttoday.com.
Absolutely. Corey, to be continued, thank you very much. We'll hear you shortly, I think, on Talk Radio 1210. So, Corey, thanks for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dom. Talk to you soon.
You are welcome. The evangelist, all right, Randy Weingarten, President Trump. This is an issue. It's like the trans issue. I know it's maddening. We're winning the day of, on the trans stuff, the day of reckoning's coming, but they're prepared to duke it out, battle for it, which is fine. You're winning, and it'll come up in election after election, boys and girls sports. America's never going to be in favor of it, no matter how many times they tell us why does it matter. People know why it matters. Okay. You get in at 855-839-1210. Hit us with that all-time neighbor. We'll take a bunch of your calls coming up, good or bad. One that pops, real or fictional. We just mentioned Josh Shapiro. As I told you, if you missed the top of the show, I have the layout, the pictures. I have the 11 pages of the plaintiffs, the Mock family, who apparently don't want to make this political. They're just amazed that not only would Josh Shapiro want to steal their land that they paid taxes on for 9 straight years, he puts the state troopers in it. They're probably in there right now. He puts the state troopers in there to stop them from surveying, wanting to put trees in or whatever, under force of law. This guy has lost his political mind. I give him credit for being the most calculating guy imaginable and a real menace in 2028. You think America, or even in the governor's race, they're going to say, yeah, I side with Josh Shapiro on this, Dom. Adverse possession or something. Let's take their land and use state troopers to intimidate them. Would I advise, if I were Wally Zimelong, to have them hire Pinkertons, I guess they're so called, right? They're like private security, and say, hey, get out of the way. This is our land. We're putting up trees here. They're going to arrest the arborist, whoever the tree guy is. They're going to arrest him. Yeah, Josh Shapiro is apparently ready to arrest the guy surveying for trees on their land with state troopers. You know what he says? It's security. It's a security measure. Wow. I take it back, Henry. I still think Krasner's number one, Henry, but it wouldn't be Jim Kenney. The all-time would be Josh Shapiro. You know, I couldn't resist. 30 seconds in. All right, we're going with short jokes. I can't take it anymore. That's it. Not going to take it. Wish I had the video of that, of him coming in. I'm just doing an auctioneer thing. And I really didn't want to do the auctioneer voice. I had to do it a little bit for Roe and the whole thing for a zoo. He was commissioner of Montgomery County then. Coming in, making a round, seeing me, and that was it. Was very friendly. Not. That was the last time I think I've seen him in person. We almost had him on. Dan was talking to his guy. He said, oh, yeah, we'd love to have him on in the 2024 race. As long as you give him a chance to promote Kamala Harris or whatever. Sure. Come on. Yeah of course. We can talk olive trees if he wants to come on. We can talk agronomy. I mean, suppose the Mocs wanted to put a putting green in there. Oh, man, state trooper's not going to go for that. Give them some clubs. Maybe they'll stand down. Can you imagine being a state trooper, having to protect against a surveyor taking a look at that land? This guy, the king, 855-839-1210. Grab a line. Coming to your calls next.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right, coming up, the great Scott Presler will play you a little bit of him telling Republicans you're going to lose if you don't pass things like the SAVE Act that looked like it was in the congressional hall today. I'm not sure the committee. The big action was with Pam Bondi, Dom Giordano show. We've already played you some of that. Great stuff here. Thank you, Josh Shapiro. I've never done this one before. Neighbors, bad, good, indifferent. That pop, real or fictional, is what we are looking for today. And again, when you read this 11-page complaint from the Mocs, the neighbors, as I said, the things that jumped out at me, A, they paid taxes on this for 9 years, and he's got the state police arbitrating this. What are you going to do if a state cop says, I'm telling you to get out of here? What's your recourse? What do you do in America? You know, the Inquirer covers it, how excessive it is, but they're not saying what I'm saying. Can you imagine if some Republican big shot had state cops there telling you, get off your own land? You can't be here taking a survey of it. They're looking at it, that they're surveying it. Nope, we're not going to allow you to do that. And then this guy screaming it's a security measure. Everything's security with this guy. The very same guy who would not say why that maniac who got over the fence and got away was coming to try to kill him and his family because he's afraid of the anti-Semitic wing of the Democrat Party, which is large. The same guy who never held accountable the state police, who did a rotten job protecting him and his family. There's no other way around it. And yet he puts in all this stuff, no confirmation by other elected officials on this money, and then uses the state police because he wants this little parcel of land. All while running for president as a moderate and running for governor. Again, Republicans are not doing enough on this. Look, we can only do what I can only do what I can do here. Give them ideas. They should be pounding on this right now at every single level. I just don't believe voters are going to accept what's going on here. When you're using, these are the very people that tell us all the time, are they not, about using Trump's private militia or whatever. Seems to me he sees the state police as his own militia here. And they're telling the people who have rightful ownership, they can't even be on that property now. Security, security, security. Funny how that works, is it not? The Inquirer is covering it, but not in that manner. If it were a Republican, this would be wall-to-wall. You'd see reporters there asking the state police, well, what are you doing here? This is a disputed land thing. Does he have a private army when there's a dispute that gets in there? Could you do that? If you had a dispute with him, could you put your people in there to keep out the state police? I don't think so. Suppose they got Pinkertons or whatever you call them to go into that property. They'd arrest them. They don't want to be partisan is what I'm told by this. So I get it. I don't care about being partisan. This guy is a menace. Let's go to Robert in Ben Salem, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dom, Henry. It's good to talk to you guys today.
Same here.
So I'm trying to watch some of the things on the Olympics, you know, and some of the, like, the really fast downhill skiing, the women's hockey. But, I mean, we went through the Super Bowl where everything is, like, anti-American, anti-Western culture, anti-Trump. And every reporter, and now we're seeing the global version of Trump derangement syndrome. It's like every reporter asked the American athletes, first thing, what do you think of Trump? Are they asking North Koreans what they think of living in North Korea or right. China or actually real dick? I mean, it's like it's a concerted effort. And we touched on this before. The American Democratic Party is just the local subsidiary of the global socialist movement. And every chance, you can't even watch Olympics without, it's just ridiculous.
The worst, Robert, is we have this a Chinese-American woman who I think is the leader in downhill something, who is racing for the communist Chinese, even though her party, and she's getting paid allegedly, her party, her family fled right after Tiananmen Square, and she blasts Trump and attacks America. And she's here fleeing communist China, but racing for them. Now, that's something you got to look at there. I don't know that it's illegal, but that's something I would look at.
It's just another instance of we turn to sports to get away from that
stuff. Exactly.
And we can't without these idiots injecting it into everything. And I completely agree with Mr. DeAngelis on what the teachers' unions are doing with our children. But I'll get to the side question. And mine, I was kind of wavering, but you made my decision for me, Dom. And I am going to go with George Jefferson, the neighbor to Archie Bunker. And they couldn't put those shows, because he had a spinoff, on TV today. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because somebody would get offended. But there was, and I'll be quick, a particular scene where everybody was there to meet Lionel's new fiance, George's daughter. And when Archie saw that Lionel's fiance's mother was white, he couldn't wait to get over to tell George just to watch him react. So George blows up and drives everybody away, so just him and Archie are standing there, and they tap glasses and toast the good old days, which I thought was hilarious, man.
Exactly.
Leave it there. You guys have a great day.
Exactly. Yeah, all-time biggest spinoff, arguably, of a show, of the number one show on The Family, and then, yeah, that wouldn't be on TV today, not because of anything raunchy, because of the subject matter. All right, here's the great Scott Presler laying it out. to a bunch of Republicans about what is at stake as we move forward here.
Is this him at the table, just so we're clear?
Yes, just at the table. Yeah, that's the one. I'm looking at the cut. You have the cut number?
Yeah, I have the cut now.
Okay, here's Pressler.
And I'm not being disrespectful, but under the leadership of former Speaker Paul Ryan, all we gave the American people was tax cuts. And we ran on tax cuts, and we got walloped. If we repeat the same mistake and only run on tax cuts and not give the people election integrity reform, we will see a resurgence of the squad, and we will have a repeat of 2018, and that means that our president will be impeached on day one of 2027.
All right, so again, it's not just me. You know, we're trying to pump people up, and it's still doable to win in 2026. But, well, I was going to ask this question, too. Thanks to Richie Olley, of course. Camden County has invited me to speak and be the master of ceremonies at the Lincoln-Reagan dinner, which is their, I think, their biggest event of the year. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. So I'm preparing here. You know, as master of ceremonies, you don't get to say, but my sense is people have to be disheartened, the Republican Party in Jersey. So I'm asking you, and I'll ask you again maybe next week, what should the message be on this? I don't know. Can I salute Jack Cetarelli? Because that's in my heart. I feel for the guy. You know, I know he's reluctant to come on. I guess I'm still trying. Invited him through various channels, but I don't think it was Jack Cetarelli. What do you say to people who are, I know the party statewide told me they're doing a big event celebrating America 250 as a way to kind of boost spirits, because I think there's a lot of soul searching of people saying, well, what do we have to do here? You know, after the Trump in 2024, we saw the road here. I think Cetarelli ran a great campaign. He was pretty well-funded. He ran like nobody has run as far as events and doing all that. What do you do in Jersey going forward? But one of the reasons I do these things is I listen and I pick up the vibe of the whole thing, and then I can, not naming names, but I bring back to you what's happening politically there. How do people feel? Where do they go next? And Camden County has done some really good things, Republican Party there, to really push back in a tough area. What is it? I think there's 57 mayors, and only one or two are Republican out of the whole county. That number may be even higher. I just picked 57. I remember it in the past. And one of them, I actually did his birthday party lunch once. It was over in Audubon Heights. And he really was a fan of President Trump. I think that's why he switched. He may have been the only one. I mean, how do you have, is Camden County doing that well as an entity? They're doing better in Camden crime-wise. I would agree with that. But why are all these towns, on paper at least, Democrats? All right, it's a tough area, and I think they've done better as far as recruiting, fundraising, et cetera. But what would your message be? We've gone over that election so many times with Matt, with Rich, et cetera, what's the message? That's what I'm trying to calculate that might be optimistic and realistic at the same time as we head toward the midterms, where we're going to sweat out. The Ryan McKenzie seat, for example, here in Pennsylvania is going to be difficult. I still think he should win, but I think it's going to be really down to the wire. And of course, Bucks County, we'll let that one unsaid for a while. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Boy, did we have a good one today. Thanks to Leslie. In Progressive Women Gone Wild that we do every day around 1:45, except yesterday we were overwhelmed with call. I had to take some. We have this comedian, after she opens her mouth, female comedian. I think they still want to be called comedian. That comedian stuff, I think, went out.
I don't think I've ever heard that word used.
That's what it used to be, just like best actress. I think they'd rather be called best actor now. I get it. Huh. Why? It's more generic. accosted by a heckler calling her a racist after it seems like 30 seconds. Beautifully how she plays it and how the heckler, a female, progressive probably, will have that coming up. 855-839-1210.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Are you getting neighbors out of there?
Yeah, your neighborhood pub?
Well, right, neighborhood pub. True. Yeah, exactly. Mort! Yeah. No, Norm. Yeah, Norm. Great Seinfeld spinoff on that, too. Oh, man, really good. George trying to say, well, why not a community center? Why a bar? 855-839-1210. Two things. This can't be. QVC may file for bankruptcy, says the Inquirer.
What?
I once tried out for QVC. They had you try to sell a pencil. I thought it was like out of a movie.
The Wolf of Wall Street?
There were like 250 people there in line. It was quite a deal all the way out in Westchester. They were really big at that point.
Totally.
Yeah. So a pencil. But I got the winner today, and I'm going to have to put it out there now. It just occurred to me during the break. I forget why. The all-time worst neighbor, and if you lived through this in this area, even if you didn't, you've heard the stories, you got to say Move. Move was in Powelton. What was the street? Was it, what was the name of the street? They had livestock in a row house block in West Philly. How do you have livestock? I guess they had a little yard. I'm talking about all kinds of livestock. They were building a bunker. They had a sound system, magnified, middle of the night, midnight, whatever, they go off with the rainings of saluting John Africa, their leader. So much so, Osage Avenue, that's right. So much so that they wouldn't send emergency vehicles or ambulances up there. They were under orders until May 15, 1985, because they were afraid of an eruption if they did that. Can you imagine living on that block and complaining and them saying, I don't know if it went on for years, but it went on for months. Come on. They got goats running here, right in front of me here. They got lambs. They got cattle. They got like they're doing a rodeo there. They're building a bunker. They're screaming, raving into high-powered sound systems, all kinds of things. And the city goes, come on now. Maybe you should move on a small street with essentially row houses. Wow. That's all right. You got that? Yeah, maybe Josh Shapiro's not as bad with the state cops and throwing the full weight of the governorship. Imagine if he became president and that's the family home there, what you'd have to endure.
Oh,
man, he'll declare you an enemy and he'll send cruise missiles will hit that. Let's see how you like that. Imagine these people, they're out there with their surveyor, they're surveying to see about putting a tree in, and he sends the state police over to tell them to get the hell out of there, the surveyor and all. Is this America in Abington? This is what we always hear from Democrats. Hear one of their chief guys, beloved. They think he'll win in 2028. A lot of them doing this here. A lot of the media. And what are we hearing about it? Well, we're hearing it's excessive, the security members. We've heard they're both suing each other, countersuits and all this. It's got to be big if a Wally Zimmalong is the attorney for this, though. I mean, that is a big deal. Let's go to Gary in Newtown on Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon, Gary.
Happy New Year! Happy New Year!
Thank you, Gary. We're going to have a new element of this. We have a guy making news internationally who says he thinks societally we say thank you too much. That's upcoming.
I just can't wait till we're doing this at Mulligan's, honestly.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it just for you, Henry. Just for you, buddy.
Thank
you,
man. Thank he you. Stepped in. This is an all-timer. You don't live this one down. This sticks with your resume. Boy, my career, I unleashed Happy New Year in the middle of May. Yeah.
All right. So I know two of the guys on the other side of this line weren't here probably in 1976, but I was. And I remember winning a parade with my family celebrating our country's 4th of July. Now, what's interesting is then I got the thing from my dad who said, hey, we're moving to Los Angeles. And I said, what? Dad, I'm getting ready to start high school. He goes, I know. We got to go there. That's where my new job is. I'm like, oh, my God. My life is over. So we get there, and then my dad totally redeems himself, and we wind up moving next to Jill Monroe. Now, the other guys don't know who Jill Monroe is. Most of the guys on who's listening don't know who she is, but she was one of the three from Charlie's Angels. She was Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, I didn't know that was Farrah's real name. So did she suntan a lot, Gary? How did that go down?
It was the best 4 years of my life.
This call's going to be hard. We got to put the fact checkers on this. You mean to say your dad was that wealthy? He's living next door to Farrah Fawcett?
She wasn't wealthy yet. She was cheap. That's why I said it was only 4 years.
Ah,
she wasn't
okay.
wealthy yet. She only did that in 1976 for one season. Then she became the bride of the $6 million man.
That's right. Now,
and I got something to say about Shapiro, too, if you don't mind.
Yeah, but one question. I vote her. You know, I'm a fan of hair, good, bad, or indifferent.
I know, Ginger. I know, yeah. Ginger.
Now, it's hard to believe. Oh, you're right. Now, it's hard to believe you can have better hair than Farrah Fawcett. Was that real? Did she look that way all the time?
I never got up that high.
Oh, okay. All right. Good answer. So what was your other Shapiro point?
Shapiro is the exact opposite of your friends with no necks. He suffers from Napoleon complex, or maybe he just has small hands like Marco Rubio.
Gotcha. Thank you, Gary. That's a heck of a call. Can you imagine Farrah Fawcett? I didn't know Jill Monroe was the real name.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah, that's pretty good by the father there, and he's in high school. Oh, man. Should have gotten more particulars. I don't know if he has any footage of the housing. He kept that or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I need like a
that.
Picture. Or
yeah, that's pretty good neighbor. Yeah. Well, she had loud parties, though. Who cares? Okay. 855-839-1210. Coming up, our daily feature, Progressive Women Gone Wild. In this one, we have this progressive woman interrupting a comedian set, and it seems to be pretty early on, and just saying, you're a racist, screaming that out. How would Jerry Seinfeld handle this? I think the comedian did it pretty well, but this is a syndrome that just will not go away. Philadelphia suburbs crawl with this type of stuff. All right, so here's how you get in. 855-839-1210.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, today, youtube.com/1210. Almost all the time we have it on YouTube. It'd be extraordinary without youtube.com/1210WPHT. That's where you should be watching this every day. So this is a comedian. Her name is
Aaron Wexler.
Wexler. That's pronounced Aaron, huh?
Yeah.
I think she says
she
that at the end.
Yeah.
Aaron Wexler. And this seems to be pretty early on her set. A woman calls her a racist, just screams out she's a racist. Instead of getting upset, she plays with it, I think, pretty skillfully. Here's how it looks and here's how it sounds.
Boo! Who's booing?
Me.
Do you want to say something?
Yeah, like you are a racist.
I'm actually a professional racist. I could keep talking to you. I'm like curious if we want to explore that, but I feel like you're really going to like my joke about trans people next, so maybe we just go to that. I'm deciding if I use my 2 minutes to explore this woman in the corner. Ma'am, is there anything you'd like to say before I close for the night? What are your pronouns? But no, I actually want to understand, like, do you want to share anything about what upset you about what I said?
You're offending me.
You being offended doesn't make you right. I want to make people laugh and make them happy, and you want everyone to use pronouns.
I don't think what you're saying is funny.
Do you think it's untrue or just unfunny? Can you name one thing I said that was untrue? I'm going to have to go in a second, but I'm not going to abort this. You like abortion, but I'm gonna stay here with you. We're gonna ride this out. I adoption is an option.
I don't think you can speak for black people.
You're saying I can't speak for all black people as you are currently speaking for all black people? Do you know how to spell my first name? It's actually A-R-Y-N-N-E. And that is a black girl's spelling. So I could say whatever I want. I'm Aaron Wexler. I'd be happy to chat with you after. Thank you all so much.
All right, maybe the worst move by the offended woman was using the word "I'm offended." Oh boy, there we. That's always going to be
kick
brittle.
Me sign.
Yes, it's always going to not go over with almost anyone at this point. After the aggressive in the beginning, it seemed to be more playing the offended card. By the way, here's an example of a woman gone wild. This is Representative McIver yesterday during testimony. And I had it a little bit wrong. She actually told the head of ICE that, this is cut five, LaMonica McIver. She's the one that stormed the detention center in Jersey, you may remember, and was arrested. And then there was back and forth in the Congress. Listen to what she told the acting ICE chief, whose name is Lyons, about going to hell.
We are here for answers. We are here for accountability, and we are here because people are dying. Let me repeat that. People are dying, and you don't seem to care. So, Mr. Lyons, I've heard my colleagues ask many questions over and over again, and you cannot answer them. So let me ask you some questions that you may be able to answer. Mr. Lyons, do you consider yourself a religious man?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Okay, well, how do you think Judgment Day will work for you with so much blood on your hands?
I'm not going to entertain that question.
Oh, okay, of course not. Do you think you're going to hell, Mr. Lyons?
I'm not
going to
entertain.
Of course not. Gentlelady. How many government...
The gentlelady will suspend. The gentlelady will suspend.
Chairman?
A gentlelady will suspend. As I said, the issues we're debating here are important to ones that members feel deeply about.
Thank you,
While Chairman. Vigorous disagreement is part of the legislative process, members are reminded that we must adhere to established standards of decorum and debate. The witnesses are here voluntarily, and I will continue to remind members that while oversight is important, aggressively attacking those witnesses personally is inappropriate and not in keeping with the traditions of our committee.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just asking a question. You guys are always talking about religion here in the Bible. I mean, it's okay for me to ask a question, right? But let me continue on. I got your notes.
All right. One observation here with this whole thing. Maybe the guy could have turned it on her. And let's talk about late-term abortion, things of that. We're talking about blood on hands. But again, you notice her theme here. They're all about judgment. We're going to be under judgment. Nuremberg trials here after Trump is done, after they gain power. And then ultimately going to hell for this. Can the Democrat Party, you know, they're not good. They want to try to reclaim the flag, religion, and the rest of it. And every time they try to do it, it's in a manner that is not going to be, it's overly aggressive given their baggage when it comes to those things. So he was smart in his position not to answer her, and it's outrageous. But I would have liked to have somebody who wasn't a government official, whatever, start firing back about the place that comes from. This is how far they'll go. So you're not just going to be judged here. You're going to hell. First, the Nuremberg trial, and then hell. Are you a religious man? Imagine some progressive Democrat asking anybody that, particularly this woman. All right, coming up, the great E.J. Antoni. We have job numbers today that are unbelievably good coming off January, coming off the final figures, if you will. We'll ask E.J. about that, and we'll ask him, you know, some of the things he's interested in as we continue to see, and Trump now has said, this is now the Trump economy, not the Biden economy. Going on record saying that, and I agree with him doing that. And the numbers, the Dow, the job numbers, et cetera, are great. What is it that Republicans have to work on, though, that's bugging Americans when it comes to their own personal economy? All that next, Dom's Money Melody with E.J. Antoni on Talk Radio 1210.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.